8. I'm going to speak this morning on the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. In Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." The spirit of adoption, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now, many things take place at the moment of the new birth. The moment when we turn our heart toward God and believe on his son Jesus to be our Savior and receive him as our Lord, trusting in him and his blood only, not how good I am, not how much I deserve it, not how much I've earned it. None of that is even possible. But our faith in Christ alone and the price he paid with his own blood that we could be reconciled to God. At the moment we have that experience in our life, many things take place. You've heard these words. Each one deserves word study. Things like redemption takes place. Now, that's a simple word. We think we know what that means. But many years ago, our associate pastor taught Sunday school for 10 months. And every Sunday he would get up. Mitch Horton is his name. Every Sunday for 10 months, he'd say, "Well, we're talking again today about redemption." And for 10 months, and he barely scratched the surface. Something else that happens the moment you're born again, the Bible calls it a doctrine. We know it as election. And then justification begins. Regeneration begins. Sanctification begins. And adoption takes place at the moment of the new birth. In regeneration, we receive a new life. In justification, we receive a new standing. In adoption, we receive a new position. Children of God. To adopt someone is to make that person a legal son or daughter. It doesn't get any better than what I just read from Scripture. Not a bit better. We didn't receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit himself witnesses to our own spirit. We know that we know we're children of God now. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs, I mean co-equal with Christ in the eyes of God the Father. Adoption is a powerful and legal word. I'll tell you the story of a young man whose name is Michael. His name is Michael Oher. Michael was born in Memphis, Tennessee. His dad was murdered, and his mom was a cocaine addict. He did not have a permanent address until he was 16 years old. He had gone to 11 different schools in 9 years. And at the age of 18, he had a measured IQ of only 80. There was some physical and mental challenges in his life. He had special needs. And one day, a family invited him into their home. They eventually adopted him. The family that adopted him was a family of means. They owned dozens and dozens and dozens of restaurant franchises. Taco Bell, I think they own 60 Taco Bells. Now, you're getting ready to get hungry right now. Some KFCs, some Long John Silvers. I mean, these people knew how to stay fed up. One day, they went into Michael's room and found a bunch of food stashed in his room. He was stashing food because he was accustomed to not knowing where his next meal was coming from. His newly adopted parents said to him, "Michael, you don't ever need to worry again about where your next meal is coming from. We own so many restaurants, there's no way you should ever go hungry now that you belong to us." You may know more about this man from the movie The Blind Side, which was based on his story. He signed first with the Tennessee Titans, and then he played for a while for the Baltimore Ravens, and then eventually the Carolina Panthers. Any Panther fans in the house over here? Oh, please. Just a couple of years ago, Google assumed his net worth to be $16 million. Imagine how much a person's life can be changed the day they are adopted. The Passion Translation reads in Romans 8:15, the verse I read earlier, like this: "And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty," that's bondage. No duty around here. No religion much around here. "You did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, 'Beloved Father.'" Many of you know my father passed away 5 weeks ago today on his birthday at the age of 87. Thank you for those of you who have been there for us with your prayers and love. My sister Deborah, my brother Mike, and I, we appreciate that. I received a lot of cards. I want to share a little note that one of our faithful ladies in the church wrote to me. It says, "Carl, my dad had been dead for many years, and then after my mama died, I was driving one day, and suddenly it occurred to me that at the age of 50, I was an orphan. Sounds crazy, I know, because when you think of orphans, you think of small children. I cried a little, and then the Lord spoke to my heart and said, 'My sweet girl, you are not an orphan. I am always with you.'" The power of the spirit of adoption. Now, in the Roman world, adoption was a significant practice. And Paul wrote this to the church at Rome. That's important. Because the culture and the mindset of the Romans in that day is, if a Roman man had no children to pass his wealth or property on to, he would adopt someone of his choosing. And these adoptions were not infant adoptions. Most of ours today are infant or shortly thereafter. But in the day when Paul wrote this to the Roman church, the custom in that day was someone who didn't have an heir, they would adopt an older boy or even an adult man. And when the adoption was legally approved, the person being adopted, would have all of his debts canceled, and he would receive a new name. And from that day forward, he would be entitled to all of the rights and benefits of a son. Listen to this. A father could disown his natural born children, but a Roman adoption was irreversible. Now that sounds too good. I know you think I made that up. You can Google this later. Go to gotquestions.org/Christian-adoption, and you can read what I just wrote. It's verified and confirmed there. Adoption causes a shift from a slave mindset to the status of a son. And the Amplified Bible says, you've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear of God's judgment. Isn't it great to be released from the fear and the bondage of God's judgment that's impending on all of us when we were born our natural birth? But you've received the spirit of adoption. I want to show a picture of a great family. They're here in our church. Now, you know these people. You see them up close and personal, but it's Justin and Amber Pearson and their picture-perfect family of three sons. Let me talk about the parents first. Well, Justin is, as you know, one of the world's great drummers. He's on this drum set here every Sunday. And his dad, one of the great bass players standing right beside him. Give Larry a hand. He's a great singer, too. Now, Justin is on track to retire early. He's a smart man with UPS. He started young. He can wrap it up while he's still young. In addition to that, he's a small business owner. He takes care of many people's landscaping and lawn maintenance, including the 12 acres here at our church. Don't they look great all the time? Thank you, Justin. And then there's his beautiful wife, Amber Osborne Pearson. Well, Amber is supermom. I call her supermom. And she really is all that. In addition to being a great wife and mother to these three boys, she is a small business owner. She owns Classy Critters. And if you have a dog, you'll want to take it to Classy Critters and let Amber keep your dog looking really good. And when we had Sasha, she kept Sasha all perfectly trimmed and beautiful for us. And every time we'd go pick her up, Amber would have a pretty bow in her hair. So what a great couple. And through a long process, I won't take the time to tell you all the details, but you can see three boys here. Griffin is the oldest, and then there's Zeke, and then there's Jonah. Well, Griffin is their natural born, biological son. But Zeke and Jonah are not their biological children by birth. They are adopted. And this great couple found it in their heart enough love to reach out to two young boys who are brothers, whose life came from a mess. And they took them into their home, and it took months and months. And finally, there was a legal court hearing. And I was privileged to be in the courtroom when the judge heard both sides and hit the gavel and said, the adoption of these two boys is legal. And we all left the courtroom that day celebrating the completion of a wonderful family. Now, you can tell by this picture that love is colorblind. Aren't we glad? The love of God does not see color. I've always told you I'm a black man. Truth trapped in a white man's body. The life these two adopted boys have is equal to the life Griffin enjoys. Everything that comes to Griffin also comes to Zeke and Jonah equally. Griffin was the firstborn, but not the only child now. How much responsibility do Amber and Justin have over Zeke and Jonah? The same equal amount of responsibility they have over Griffin. And they love them all equally. They're equal parts of this picture-perfect family. And they're not the only ones. I could give you several other examples of how the power of adoption has changed the life of a little boy. It happened in a day. What could have been a life that would have been miserable has turned out into a wonderful and blessed life because of the power of adoption. Now, adoption is spoken of favorably in Scripture. In the book of Exodus, it tells about a young woman named Jochebed. She had a baby boy, and the law of the land had been passed by Pharaoh that all the male infant babies were to be killed. But this particular mother didn't want that to happen to her baby boy. So she made a basket and made it waterproof, and she put that baby boy in the basket and let the basket float down the river, trusting God to watch out for her baby boy. And Pharaoh's daughter saw the baby in a basket floating down the river and rescued that baby and took that baby back to the palace. And this baby was Moses, and he was adopted into a royal family. God later used him to lead all of his people out of bondage, out of slavery. In the Old Testament, there's a young girl named Esther. She was adopted by one of her cousins. She became a queen of the nation, and God used her to bring deliverance to his own people again. In the New Testament, Jesus was conceived through the Holy Spirit instead of through the seed of a man. And he was adopted and raised by his mother's husband, Joseph. When adoption happens, it has all the power of legal courts in heaven and earth. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" On that point, if Griffin misbehaves, mama and daddy, super mom, super dad, make sure he learns better. Same goes for Zeke and Jonah. Because what father is there that will not chasten a son that he loves? That's the way our Father treats us sometimes when we need it. The very next verse says this, "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." Now that's a harsh word right there. That's a cruel word. I was raised by a mom and dad who said, "Don't you use that word. That's a bad word." Well, I can use it now because, well, it's in the Bible. And do you want to know what a bastard really is? A bastard is someone who does not know who their father is. That's not the case with us, because we've got the spirit of adoption over our lives. Our Heavenly Father forgave us, received us, redeemed us, saved us, justified us, began sanctifying us, regenerated us, and adopted us as His own. And if He adopted us, we know we're children of God. We can tell you. It's a witness from the Spirit of God to our own spirit. Oh, yeah, I belong to Him now. And if we're children of God, we're heirs of God. Our life changed radically in one day, the day God adopted us. And if we're heirs of God, we're joint heirs, co-equal heirs with Christ. In other words, Jesus is the Son of God, but there was a time He was the only begotten Son of God. But no more. Now, He is the firstborn of many sons, and we share equally with Christ all the benefits that the Father has for His children. You've heard it said, I've heard it said, it's a pitiful joke. It's really not encouraging to anybody. But I've had people introduce one of their children to me. You've probably had this happen to you. And they say, well, this is my youngest child. And actually, we were not planning for this child. We should have named him Mac, middle-aged carelessness. He was an accident. I've had people tell me that. Imagine how many times women have gotten pregnant accidentally without intending to. But listen, no one is ever adopted accidentally, but always intentionally and always on purpose. God has no accidents in His family. He intentionally adopted each of us, received us into His family. You are not an accident. You are in the family of God by His choosing. And adoption is done by choice. And adoption is done out of love. God is saying, I want you to have my name. I want you to live in my house. I want you to have a seat at my table. I want to provide every good thing that I can provide for you. You will never have a need I'm not capable of meeting. The spirit of adoption. Two different mindsets we can have in our approach to God. We can approach Him as a slave in bondage, or we can approach Him as adopted children. The spirit of slavery views God as a slave owner and views us as His trembling servant, subjects. The spirit of adoption views God as a loving Father, and we are His beloved sons and daughters. The spirit of slavery is manifested in legalistic religion. And listen to this. Many cults and even some Christian denominations put such emphasis on rule keeping that they instill fear and a sense of dread in their members. God is presented as a taskmaster who is never quite satisfied with anything we do. The bar is always set a bit too high, so people find religious activities to keep themselves busy in the hope that God will accept them for their effort. Even those who've been born again through faith in Christ's sacrifice can cling to a spirit of slavery, never realizing that freedom that is theirs with the spirit of adoption. The spirit of slavery was rampant within Jewish culture when Jesus came to earth. He rebuked the religious leaders for instilling legalism in people with whom God desired to have a loving relationship. Paul cautioned the early churches to be watchful for the return of that spirit of slavery. In Galatians 5:1, he wrote, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." In startling contrast is the spirit of adoption. It brings us into God's family. Jesus invited believers to address God as our Father. It is the spirit of adoption who teaches us to call out to God as Father. There's a vast difference between the way sons serve their fathers and the way slaves serve their masters. Slaves may perform duties, sons perform acts of love. Slaves dutifully and forcefully obey, sons gladly obey. Slaves are motivated by a fear of punishment. Sons are motivated by the love in the relationship. Slaves ask, "What is required of me?" A son will ask, "Father, what can I do for you?" The spirit of adoption changes us from fearful slaves to joyful sons and daughters. I'll close with Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And then just a few verses after that, Galatians 4 beginning at verse 1. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. But when the fullness of time had come," and this is the Christmas message a little early right here, "when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Therefore, I declare this over all of us who have faith in Jesus as our only hope of getting to God the Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Is that good news for anybody in the house this morning?